this week. One of the things I said last week that I want to clarify. That's why I don't mind people talking about the message or, you know, don't agree with something or what have you. I want to hear things like that. We should want to hear things like that because that's how we mature and that's how we grow in our faith, and that's how we grow with one another. We never feel bashful about, you know, or anything like that might take on. So one of the things I want to clarify that Tony and Jeff and Mike and I were talking about this last week, and Brother Stewart, one of the things that I wasn't sure I made clear about is that when Moses and Joshua went up on the mountain, Joshua did not go with Moses all the way. He didn't go up to the top. That was just God, Yahweh, and Moses. Joshua was down at the foot hill. See, that's why Joshua was the one that first heard all the people. And he thought, hey, there's war going on here. And he probably thought that because that Joshua had a warrior mindset. Remember, Moses had him be not only his aid, but to lead the guys, to lead the forces. And remember that by the time we come to this place, Joshua is now—he's not a youngster. He's an old guy. He's an older guy. He's about 78, almost 8 years old. By this time, because they've wandered in the wilderness for almost 4 years. Well, from the time they left Egypt until now, it's 40 years. And we know that reading on from the book of Joshua that Joshua and Caleb were about the same age. So they were 40 when they were sent out to spy the land. So Joshua's not a young guy. But even though he was not up on with Moses then, see, Joshua didn't see Yahweh. He didn't see God at the time that Moses did. Moses was the one that had the saw God. Remember, he had to wear a veil because the people couldn't stand to be in his presence because of his being in the presence of God. Can you imagine when you're thinking about that? And now Joshua is. What it would be like to be in the presence of God, the presence of Yahweh, that people then couldn't stand? And God said they couldn't stand? But now, you know, we do have an advocate with the Father, don't we? We have someone to stand present. But in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 here, last week we delved a little into who Joshua was, and that he was to succeed Moses as the leader of the people of Israel. But this week I want us to look at what Yahweh, what the Lord God told Joshua, as we find here in our text. The entry to the promised land was a fulfillment of many years of preparation. And why did it take many years of preparation? Because of the disobedience. Because of the disobedience of God's people. And now Moses has died. And with the death of Moses, now there's a leadership vacuum. Who's going to lead God's people? Can you imagine? There's over, you know, 3 million people there, even at that time. Can you imagine them looking at one another? You know, they mourned Moses 30 days. And can you imagine them looking at one another and say, all right, Moses, he's dead. And they're mourning for 30 days, and they're crying, and they're wailing, and they're keening. And they're looking at one another saying, who's going to lead us now? What's going to happen? But God had it all worked out, didn't he? Yahweh gave that responsibility to Joshua. Thus the theme of the text this morning. Be strong and of good courage. Strength and courage. Is that not a message for today as well? So Yahweh makes Joshua a promise. So now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord, Yahweh, spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, now Yahweh's talking now, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you may go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God, Yahweh, is with you wherever you go. So let's unpack this. Yahweh, the Lord God, makes Joshua a promise. He told Joshua that just as he had been with Moses, just as he was with Moses, he would be with him. That takes us back to Exodus chapter 29. Verses 45 to 46, where it says, I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. I am Yahweh. In other words, and when you look at what we are seeing in the first chapter of Joshua, Yahweh is making Joshua a promise. You, Joshua, are now going to lead my people. Be strong. And he tells him, you know how many times God likes to repeat things? I've heard people tell me, there's too much repetition in the Bible. Well, God repeats. He's repetitive for a reason, isn't he? But right here to Joshua, he repeats it three times. Be strong and courageous. Yahweh would indeed fulfill his promise, which went all the way back to Abraham, went on and goes back to Jacob, Israel, goes all that way back. Yahweh would indeed fulfill his promise. However, this would require something from Joshua and the rest of the people. What would it require? Notice, look at what God tells. Verses 1 through 9, Yahweh is just talking to Joshua now. It's in reference to the people, but he's just now talking to Joshua. And he tells him, arise, get up. Okay, you mourned for Moses 30 days. Now get up. Cross over this Jordan. They had to do something. Yes, Yahweh said he was going to give it to them. The time of mourning has ended, but now Yahweh requires something. People would say, well, God is just, he's unconditional all over the place. No, when you read the scriptures, you see a lot of if, this, meaning God has conditions. So yes, Yahweh was going to give them the land. However, in giving them the land, they had to do something. Faith and obedience. What Yahweh tells Joshua here is that he is requiring action. It's a call to action. And he's requiring a definite commitment. And notice, God outlines it for them. He tells him, you and all these people, cross over, this Jordan, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. He says, every place on which your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, he told Joshua. So wherever you go. And then God outlines it. Have you ever looked at a map in your Bibles? Your Bibles have a map. You ever look at that territory that God gave them? How extensive that was? Now they never completely had that whole territory until the days of David and Solomon. But it was a vast territory. You understand when he talks about the Great Sea, what that is? That's the Mediterranean Sea. The land of the Hittites, what he's talking about there? The land of the Hittites was what we would call today Turkey. That's a vast territory, isn't it? This Lebanon, God, he lays it out for them. And what God does is he lays it out in a crisscross pattern. From the desert, south to north. From the desert to this Lebanon, north. Then east, the Euphrates. To the west, the Great Sea. The Mediterranean. That's not a small area. God said he would give it to them. But guess what? They still must take it. God said he was going to give it to them. It was theirs. He's going to give it to them, but they still had to take it. I like what Brother Mark Scott says in this regard. He said, divine sovereignty went hand in hand with human responsibility. Yes, God is sovereign. But there's some human responsibility in there as well. And as Brother James Smith said, the gift, because the land was a gift, the gift would be in proportion to the faith which they exercised in marching through the land. God always rewards courageous faith. But they would not claim all that land until the days of David and Solomon. A long time, isn't it? Took centuries. But notice what God told Joshua. Three times. Be strong and courageous. See, do you understand that there's a negative side to that? That probably the reason why Yahweh was telling Joshua that was because at the time, he wasn't strong and courageous. He was rather afraid. He was apprehensive.
Not Joshua's people.
What's that?
I don't think Joshua was.
Joshua was. Even though he's a warrior then. But Yahweh said, be strong and courageous. And why? Because Yahweh was saying, you're not doing it in your own power. You're not alone with all these people. God is saying, I'm here. I'm with you. But he said, I'm just not just going to hand it over to you. You got things to do. You're not going to get it unless you cross the Jordan. You're not going to get it unless you take it. It's what Yahweh is telling Joshua here. So it would appear, would it not, since Yahweh tells Joshua this three times, that this is a very important matter to God. Huh? Not something to be taken lightly. But there's conditions attached. God was telling Joshua that he must prevail to take a stand and be brave. So what can that teach us today in what we're going through? Not the same thing? It's not Yahweh, it's not God. Almighty God telling us as the church, telling us as individuals, is he not telling us? Be strong. Be courageous. Do you understand what you have in my son? So you were to lose this life, earthly, what will you gain? But ultimate life. But eternal life. I like the illustration that Brother David Foss gave concerning this. About being strong and courageous. It brings to mind our military heroes. Can you imagine what those young men, and many of them were just teenagers. You know that? When they stormed the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. Many of them were just teenagers. Many of them weren't even 20 years old yet. But they stormed the beaches of D-Day. Do you think many of them were not afraid? Oh, yeah. But they were courageous, weren't they? They knew what needed to be done. We look at like Moses. The same thing in the Bible we see. Esther, her uncle Mordecai, saying, well, if not you, Esther, he will. He will raise up somebody. So Esther was strong and courageous, and she did what needed to be done. Daniel. Example of Daniel. And his three friends. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Or as we know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel. What did they do? When they said, we want you to eat like this. And Daniel said, no, we're not going to do that. Well, I could be killed if you don't do that. Daniel said, just give us a few days here. Then see how we are. And God took care of him, didn't he? Same way with Daniel in the lion's den, in the tree, in the fiery furnace. Paul demonstrated boldness, did he not? And courage. But brothers and sisters, no one showed more strength and courage than our Lord, than Jesus. Pilate never recognized that, did he? But Jesus told Pilate, can you imagine that? Here Pilate thought he was in control of everything. He probably even after he had crucified Jesus, he thought he was still in control. But Jesus said, you don't have any power over this. Jesus was telling them, it's mine. He said, my disciples would be fighting right now if my kingdom was of this world. But he said, nah.
Authority's given.
Yes. Because he was given to him by his father. I like what Brother Foss said further. He said, for most of us, life is routine, not dramatic, but everyday challenges require courage too. Who needs courage? Anxious kids heading off to another day at school. Now I'm going to be doing it online. Students seeking to honor Christ on a college or university campus. Young adults starting a new job. Even single moms bringing up children. But many of them, parents trying to bring up the children on a tight budget. And preachers who are called to speak, and many are not doing so. Who are called to speak uncomfortable truth in a culture that doesn't want to hear it. That's what they did at the Democratic Convention this year when they took God out. Why? Because they don't want God. And many don't. Those who are causing all the troubles in many of our cities now. What's happening down in Portland?
Lawlessness.
Almost for 90 days? Now? You think they want God?
Anarchy and lawlessness.
Exactly. They want anything but that. See? Parents need courage today. Need strength. So do those who are facing, as he says, so do patients facing surgery. Workers who suddenly find themselves unemployed. Senior adults coming to terms with aging and death. And leaders, whether of a church, of a small group, or what, who need to confront somebody when their actions and their behavior is out of line with what the Scriptures teach. So where can ordinary folks today find courage? Exactly. In the Scriptures. Where was Joshua to find his courage? Yahweh said, be strong and courageous. Well, where was he to find that strength and courage?
In the Lord.
In himself?
In the Word and the Law.
In the Lord.
No. In Yahweh. God said, I'll be with you. He's saying the same thing today. I like what Brother Mark Sias says concerning this passage. It says, taken together, these terms suggest that choosing the strong and courageous route means following a well-defined road to a true understanding, one that appreciates the rightful place of God's grace and man's duty in life. And it all comes down to this, what Yahweh tells Joshua here. And look at verses 7 through 9. What does Yahweh tell Joshua to keep in mind, to keep before him? What is one of the actions that he is to do? Yahweh required a continuing course of obedience. Notice what God directs Joshua towards now. What does he direct him towards?
The word.
His word. When he talks about the Torah and to the Jews, to the Hebrews, that didn't mean just a legal code. It meant the writings. It meant the teaching. It meant the instruction. And that's what God is talking about. God is telling Joshua, I gave my servant Moses instructions. I gave him a teaching. He said, you pay attention to that. You meditate on it. See, it's especially important because it has to do with his written word. God is telling Joshua that Moses wrote these things down. I believe it's referring to the Pentateuch.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be because Moses had already given it.
Yes.
You're not just talking about the Ten Commandments here.
But notice what Yahweh says. And this is what we need to do. We need to see as they would in how God intended it to be. God is saying, look, people, and he's telling Joshua, as now the leader of the people, I made a covenant with you guys. I made a covenant with Moses. I made a covenant with those people. And I had it written down. And so Yahweh is telling Joshua, it's there. You meditate on it. You pay attention to what it says. You follow it. But you not only do that, you teach it. Yahweh tells Joshua to keep it continually in mind. What he says here, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Don't turn away from it. Why? Because God tells them that it's through his word, it's through his teaching, that they will have success. That's what he says. That's the same way with us. So don't we tell Joshua to keep it continually in mind? Not just meditate on it, thoughtful meditation, but you keep it continually in mind. What's God telling them? Because it relates to us today as well. He is telling him that that is what must direct him and the people as they enter and they take the promised land. God is saying, I have spoken and I gave it to Moses and he taught you. And you still have it. So you are still being taught. Notice how God links that with the success of not only Joshua, but the people overall. Do you see, do we understand that even today and all the things that we are going through and do go through, that this is our manual? This is our teaching? This is our instruction? What He has given us? That this is what it, that this is what gives us success, both in our lives and in the church? Isn't that what Paul meant when he said, these things were written for your instruction, for you to learn? Isn't that what Paul meant when he said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by letter from us. Stand firm and hold. What we must do. Well, you know, Paul wasn't the only one. Even Peter said such things. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. So we have the prophetic word, more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And how he went on to say, found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophet, and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken. Now get this. And the commandment of the Lord and Savior by your apostles. That's apostolic authority, brothers and sisters.
What he commanded his apostles to do. And that we would believe based on their word.
Exactly.
It was the whole plan all along.
So then again, it's especially important to see the conditions that God is outlining here. Because last of all, in verse 9, get this, in verse 9, Yahweh tells Joshua one more time, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Because I will be with you and the people. You see, you notice how the promise is interwoven with the command? What that means is neither is complete without the other. Just as God's promises to us. They are promises, but they are interwoven with a command. With being obedient, and neither is complete without the others. That's another lesson we can learn today. And notice again, as what I said, Yahweh said He would give the land. God set the boundaries and the conditions. The power is God's to conquer and overcome. Same thing today. And His presence with us cannot be maintained apart from our presence with Him. And that's what God was telling Joshua here. I don't know who said it, but I heard a preacher a long time ago say, some doubt the presence of God because they expect the wrong things in evidence that he is there. What a lesson for us today. See, this, and so, this is our charge or commission. Our charge or commission was echoed again many years later when Christ gave his commission to the apostles, found in Matthew chapter 28. But you see, that's to us as well. Because what he told the apostles, he said, you do this, and you teach others. You teach those disciples to do these things, to carry it on. So we can see in that as well. Commitment.
You look at the
action.
Bible churches.
And we see obedience and his presence. And brothers and sisters, whatever we're going through today, this, you know, this virus thing, I refuse to call it a pandemic, this virus thing, and the lawlessness and all that stuff going on, man.
Well, here's the thing is, with these supposed Bible colleges, like, they're not producing people to preach the message of the apostles of Christ. They're being raised up to do what now?
That's true. In many instances, it's true.
It's
that's true. But we know what it says.
Yeah. I'm just glad I'm not on a board of directors or something, you know, for a coffee. You'd have some explaining.
That's why that's a strong lesson here. We need ourselves and the church and others. And we pray for in those Bible colleges that we have out there that are left. That they be strong and courageous. But we have to be strong and courageous on this. And God said, God never said he abandoned us, did he? Did he abandon us in all these things?
No.
He's still with us. But yet, he still asked us to do certain things. That's obedience to him and obedience to his word. But we need never fear that his presence, no matter what, is with us as long as we remain firm in Christ. That's the significant thing. That's the difference. But what a lesson we can learn from what God tells Joshua there. Be strong and courageous. God repeats it. He's telling us the same thing today. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for the opportunity we have to gather together. And Lord, indeed, may we take this lesson from what your servant Joshua has to teach us here. May indeed all the things that are happening in our lives and what's going on, Lord, may we strive to be strong and indeed courageous, Father. May we take the actions that you would have us to take. And indeed, Father, may we remain faithful and obedient to what your word says. Above all, Lord, may we strive indeed to fulfill the commandment which your Son has given us, that we love one another just as he has loved us. We pray, Lord, that that might be so within our lives, within our church, and others might see that too, Father, that they might want that in their lives as well. They might want to have a truly abundant life that only comes through your Son. Be with us now, Lord, Father, as we go to our homes, guide and direct us throughout this week, where we ask all these things in your Son's most precious and holy name. Amen. Unfortunately, you're right. You're on our trip on a Bible college.
Congrats.
Thank you.